keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Well, good evening and welcome to the Final Hooter. It's Warrington Hospital's Radio General and it's also Love Rugby League's podcast. I'm Dave Parkinson and on this show, well, coming up, we'll have reaction and thoughts from the Ladbrokes Challenge Cup semi-final stage. We'll hear from the winning coaches, a pair of amazing Australians, two former players from the two successful finalists. We'll also be talking in the studio about the Super 8s, the qualifiers and the Championship Shield. And we'll hear from Salford's director of rugby, Tim Sheens, Lee Centurion's boss, Paul Rowley, Halifax head coach, Richard Marshall. And we'll also catch up with London Broncos head coach Andrew Henderson. He's had a one heck of a rough, strange, weird and wonderful season with the Broncos in his first gig as a professional coach. Now, I've got Dave Birch along with me here, eager to get on with his Final Hooter debut. Good evening.
Good evening, Dave. You okay?
I'm very good, thank you. And it's great to have you with me. We've had trouble tracking down Adrian, although I have managed to do it.
Oh, right, okay. Has he disappeared after the semi-final?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, it was one of those big disappointments, wasn't it, really, from a Warrington point of view.
And certainly was.
Obviously, you're one of our commentary team on Radio General. Give us your initial reaction to it.
Yeah, it was a little bit disappointing. The game started off really, really well with the early Ryan Atkins try. And Warrington seemed to celebrate like that was it was job done, you know, and to be fair, I think everyone got a little bit carried away with it. The fans got carried away with it. Even I got carried away in commentary because it happened so quickly. And then this Hull KR grew into the game. Warrington may give away a lot of penalties, and it was Chris Hill, Ashton Sims and Ben Harrison were giving away a lot of penalties. They were trying to slow the play down. Richard Silverwood was having none of it, and they weren't learning from those mistakes, and they were getting punished. There was more pressure, and when Mantellato went in at the corner, it was only a matter of time really before they did it. Second try was really disappointing for me. Adrian was shocked by it as a former fullback stroke winger.
That's what he likes to tell people.
Well, yeah, that's what he says. But, you know, it just seemed really, really, I go as far as saying, a pathetic effort to try and catch the ball from Gene Ormsby. It was a move that I think Hull KR had seen against St Helens, where St Helens kicked the ball over Ormsby and scored through Mark Percival in the Super League just a couple of weeks before. Hull KR did the same thing. They kicked the ball up. Ormsby was sort of too slow to react, and up popped Kenseo. And when that try went in, that just seemed to give Hull KR the belief that they could get there. And although they had a little wobble in the second half, which, you know, a lot of nerves started to kick in because they were that close to Wembley. A lot of the players hadn't played there before, and Warrington were putting the pressure on, but they just didn't seem to do enough. But at the end of the day, if Joel Monaghan had managed to have got in at the corner with that fantastic effort, then you never know, we could have been here celebrating about a Warrington victory and a trip to Wembley. But well done to all Kingston Rovers. They were the better team on the day, and they thoroughly deserved their win.
Yeah, I'd agree with you regarding that. I thought Hull Kingston Rovers played some smart rugby at times. They kept it simple when they had to, didn't they? Kicked the ball long, got it down the ground. You know, Albert Kelly, a lot's been written about him and said about him this season. I thought he really rose to the mark. Although, having said that, he was also one of the reasons why it got really close, because you could tell that Warrington had done the work on him defensively, hadn't they? And, you know, they'd wanted to target him in the defensive line.
I was hearing sort of rumours before the game from some of the Yorkshire press that Albert Kelly actually had a little bit of a knock. And literally, you know, it was one of those whether, you know, he'd actually get out on the field. They needed him with no Campese. But I thought, you know, he kicked the ball really, really well. And that's where Warrington has struggled for a couple of seasons now since Lee Bree has retired, is the actual kicking game and putting the ball into kicking the ball out to touch in the corners, giving your team a bit of a break, but pushing the team back and letting them start on the 10. And that's where Warrington has struggled a little bit now. Whether little Chris Sandow can settle that, well, I'm sure we'll talk about that later on in the show.
We certainly will. But hang on. Are you sure that Lee Breers has actually retired? Because he seemed to spend more of the time on the field on that semi-final than he did in some of his games.
I thought he had a brilliant game, Lee Breers.
He didn't miss any tackles or anything.
I've never seen him run so much in my life, but he actually had a bit of a running joke with a person on Twitter this week who claimed that Breers was on for all six tackles. Lee actually then replied to that by saying, if you can prove it, I'll buy you tickets for Wembley. So you know, I think Lee's pretty confident that it may have only been five and a half tackles he spent on the pitch.
Right, I did threaten that we had actually found out where Adrian's been. It's coming up now.
Well, Adrian, this is a little bit different, isn't it?
Listen, you might have think you got rid of me by not being in the studio, but we're on the road.
Yeah, I can tell, we're on the road. There's lots of people around.
Eating and drinking.
Looks which like means we must be.
We're in a pub.
In a pub, just to prove this is an official pub.
Well, you're on coke, I'm on lager. And to be honest with you, it feels like you're on one of them stop-off points when you do a walk.
Did you take part in the Rugby League walk? Is this why we've not seen you for a while?
No, I actually didn't put my best foot forward, but one person who did was Nigel Wood, and we'll hear from him right now. Fresh from the Rugby League Founders Walk is Nigel Wood. Nigel, how are the feet?
They're in the tender, Adrian. The feet are very tender. It was a big undertaking, and we probably underestimated what 120 miles kind of felt like. We knew what it looked like. It's not been a busy week this week, I can tell you. There's been a lot of foot up this week and ice around things.
You recreated the 120 years of history. How was it to recreate that history?
Oh, I think that, look, we've got a great sport, and some people, you know, don't necessarily understand how old it is and the history and the heritage. And, you know, 120 years is a significant celebration, and it's right and proper that we recognise that passing of time with a number of events, and the Founders Walk was one. We've obviously got a statue to unveil at Wembley later in the year, which will recognise and commemorate the role that the sport has in the National Stadium. But the Founders Walk was a way of engaging with a lot of different communities, a number of communities across the whole game, community, junior, as well as a semi-professional and fully professional. And it's also a good chance to sit and listen to people, well, stand and listen and walk and listen to people who've got views on things and, you know, want to tell you where we're going wrong or where we're going right, mainly where we're going wrong. But it was terrific, really, and it's good for the soul because it reminds you about, you know, why you're so captivated about rugby league and why it holds such a strong place in the hearts of so many people.
At least, I mean, that's the question I was going to say. Did you enjoy going back to the old venues that rugby league used to take place at?
Well, we certainly saw a lot of industrial estates and former grounds. Finding out, you know, some of them, went to Warrington. The last day in Warrington, the old Wilderspool ground, which is now just literally only just been flattened, even though they've moved to Halliwell Jones, have only just flattened that. And I was there with Mike Nicholas, and he insisted on walking round what was a flattened piece of earth, saying, "Well, that's where I got sent off in 1978, and that's where I got sent off in 1978. And I said, "Look, Mike, let's cut to the chase. Just got the tunnel. You can show me where the tunnel was, where you were sent down it on all these occasions." So, you know, it's nice to see. It's nice to see. There are venues that. I don't think anyone. I'm a student of the sport and enjoy the history, but I had no idea where Liversidge played. I thought I knew where Liversidge played, but I didn't really know, or where the Brighouse Rangers team played in 1895. So, part of the celebration of the history will be putting some blue plaques up in September and October. We'll be actually putting plaques up on the venues where those grounds were. So that'll be another piece of commemoration. So then supporters, if they want to, can go and collect them. They can go and, you know, they can go and have the photographs taken outside the 22 original venue. So, you know, that's just something that, you know, another little initiative. So it's right and proper that we look after the heritage agenda.
You're looking to raise a lot of money as well as it achieve that aim.
Well, we won't know how much it raises or doesn't raise, because a lot of the fundraising is being done individually by clubs, so there isn't a central clearing point. We certainly have set lofty aspirations, and whatever gets raised will be put to good causes around the sport, you know, through Rugby League Cares and or through the local charities and the local good causes for the individual clubs. So, you know, I mean, raising money was part of it, but it wasn't the only reason. It was doing it for its own sake and for the celebration of the history of the sport.
Now, one final question. Did the weather behave itself?
In the main, I have to say, at the risk of being somewhat controversial, it tended to behave itself more on the east of the Pennines than the west of the Pennines. There was a particular dark moment on the Wednesday when we were in a car park in Asda in Rochdale with waterproofs on, with the prospects of traipsing over to Oldham and then down to Stockport, when it was no picnic. And also, there was a little bit on Friday as well. But on the whole, the weather wasn't too much of a problem.
Must admit, it was a bit controversial, though. He kind of suggested the weather was better on the east side of the Pennines where it was on the west side of the Pennines. But I've got to agree with him on his stage between Warrington and St. Anne's. He absolutely threw it down. I actually seen him with his pack-a-mack on walking down the street. I felt sorry for him. I felt like pulling over and saying, do you want a lift?
Nigel Wood with poncho.
Taking in the old venues of rugby league, that'd be interesting.
Well, I thought it was a really interesting premise anyway to do that, and you know, it just shows what a historical game and what a historical sport that we follow. So anyway, we could talk Founders Walks all day, couldn't we? But there's a rugby league to get through, and I suppose before we talk about any of the qualifiers and who's playing who, where and when, you was at the semi-finals of the Challenge Cup, weren't you?
Yeah, our team, Hawkinson Rovers, were leading the battle for us on our road to Wembley at the semi-final stage, taking on the mighty Wolves. No one gave Hawkey R a chance, but Chris Chester and the boys really upset the Wolves and came up with an impressive victory. And on the Friday, we had a cracker between St. Anne's and Leeds.
I have to admit, I really enjoyed that game, Adrian. Particularly the first 20 minutes, I thought Leeds were scintillating. The way they kept the ball alive, for me, really, they should have been even further in front than what they were. But, you know, it was a spirited comeback from St. Helens. You always got the feeling, though, it was never quite enough, and they were never quite classy enough to get over the top of Leeds. And Leeds really have the nettle over St. Helens this year, don't they? They've beaten them three times competitively.
Yeah, Leeds in the final, Friday night semi-final. You're a fan of it? The fans weren't, there was only 11,000 there.
To be fair, that's nothing new, though, is it? For rugby league semi-finals, and I've had this conversation before, I think until, as a sport, we can start selling out our semi-finals, then it's always going to be at the beck and call of the broadcasters, isn't it? So this year, the BBC decided that they wanted to do something different.
Audience figures were great, so I've got a feeling Friday night semi-finals are here to stay for a few years.
1.3 million... But yes, you're right. Maybe if they got two clubs a bit closer together geographically, it might have worked a little bit better. But, you know, for a club like Leeds to only sell 3,500 tickets in pre-sales for a semi-final doesn't really speak volumes. And maybe that tells you where it's up to at the moment, doesn't it?
Just a few more with extra on the Saturday. Just over 13,000 were in Headingley, but 10,000 of that were Hull Kingston Rovers fans. Where were the Warrington fans?
Oh, I have to admit, though, those Hull KR fans have been short of quality victories to cheer, haven't they, over recent seasons?
Yeah.
And, maybe they just, everybody had written them off. So maybe it was just one of those, I know what, we'll go and show them. And they certainly did.
Certainly did. Well done to Hull Kingston Rovers. Well done to Leeds Rhinos. Let's get some past players' reaction. I caught up with Franny Cummins at Warrington on Friday after Leeds defeated St. Helens, and we'll hear from Chef Walker after the Hull KR game against Warrington. Former Cup winner Francis Cummins, you just witnessed your former team get to the final of the Challenge Cup. What a game that was between Leeds and St. Helens tonight.
It was, yeah, terrific. I thought Leeds set off at a pace there at the start of the game, where you were thinking it was going to be a big score. But all credit to Saints. In the previous two fixtures, they've probably ebbed away and Leeds have run away. But Leeds, but Saints came back, and you know what, had some great momentum in that second half. And, you know, I think probably Wigan in there, but they're the best three tries in Super League at the moment, Leeds, Saints and Wigan.
Leeds had to certainly weather the storm second half and hit St. Helens with the sucker punch of the try.
Yeah, it's probably a good sign of a great team, isn't it, where Saints were very good in that patch as well, and they dominated all field position. Just when you thought Leeds were gone on the feet, they looked like the middles were tired, they get back up the other end and score, and that's a good sign of a good team, isn't it?
And, you know, Mucky Jamie Peacock, where did he find that pace from?
I know he'll be joking about it on BBC tomorrow. He'll be talking about it 50 metres, never mind 20 metres, but it was back to his old back row days, I think, in that little spell.
Certainly was, and Leeds fully deserved to set their place in this year's cup final.
Yeah, I think so. I thought Saints did well, because I thought the amount of energy used by Saints in the first half were going to hurt them in the second half. I thought Saints played a lot better tonight than they have done previously, and showed some good signs for Kieran there. But I think Leeds edged it just because of the majority of the first half and the back end of the second half. They just had a bit more experience.
Jeff Walker, former Hull QR player. You must be pleased and pumped to see your former teammates and former club get to Wembley.
Absolutely outstanding, yeah. I know how passionate the club are, and the fans are unbelievable, and I just thought I'd come down and witness it. I had a good feeling that they'd do a number on them today, and the boys came through good. Few players that I played at Bradford with, and then obviously being an ex-player of Hull QR, I'm chuffed to bits for them and for Rudgell as well, knowing how much he's put into the club, and he's finally reaping some back for it.
Certainly had the work cut out against Warrington, but they rode the challenge and come through.
Yeah, that's it. It's not even that Warrington had an off day. Hull QR absolutely played them off the park, I reckon, in parts, and they were well structured and they played really well in parts of it. And I think that first 10 and the second 10 after half time really won them the game.
So it will be a big day out for Hulkington Rovers and the fans as well, won't it?
Absolutely, and I think it's only what they deserve. They're the best away supporting team, and for them to have that day out at Wembley, it's a massive credit to them, and it's just what they deserve.
As a player watching it, what do you think Hulkington did right and what did Warrington do wrong today?
I don't think Warrington did much wrong, to be honest. I think they did out their game plan, but what OKR did, well, they defended really well and played territory really well, and they just drilled them. They put it down the throat, got down there and did some good kicks.
So yeah, well done to Hulkington Rovers, well done to Leeds, but the big question is, who's going to win it? Who's going to get the hands on the Challenge Cup this year? Is it going to be Leeds again? Is it going to be Sir Kev's final hurrah to rugby league?
He couldn't have written it any better if that's going to be the way that it'll pan out. But
are Hulky are going to produce that cup performance again that upsets the big guns?
I always like the underdogs. Hulkington Rovers have been this season's underdog story, haven't they? They've deservedly got where they've got. As you mentioned, magnificent for Chris Chester. He was always a very smart player who just unfortunately had his first year of injuries, which kind of stopped him from reaching the very, very top of his profession. But he's got the chance to do it all over again as a coach now. And you know what? I'm going to go with Hulkington Rovers. I was torn between the two, but I just think because of the whole underdog story, the fact that Hulkington Rovers haven't lifted that famous old trophy.
35 years, that's 35 unreal. Years. Unreal.
They've not been to the big show for 29 years. Okay, they were there when it was the Silk Cup plate back in 97, but you know, that's a long, long time ago.
I think there's plenty of fans who last went to Wembley in 1980 have not been since. They'd be dusting down the old tops, won't they, and getting ready to make the journey down, aren't they?
I tell you what, they could do a bomb selling those vintage shirts, couldn't they? Yeah. I think you've hit on a business idea there.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Well, Dave Birch, I managed to track down Adrian and, you know, strangely enough, he was in a pub.
Amazing.
But then again...
That's the first place I'd have looked.
Am I just about, you know, as bad as him? Because I did join him for a drink, having said that.
Well, of course. And, you know, it's always nice to relax in a different environment as well, isn't it? So I'm sure you enjoyed doing that as well. It's something a little bit different.
Yeah, it was good. I reckon what we'll do is certainly next season for the LoveRugbyLeague.com podcast, I can see us coming to a pub near you. Not just near you, Dave.
There's one right around the corner from my house. I live at the back of one.
Oh, right, okay. Well, maybe we'll come to that one near you. But yeah. I'm thinking about all around the rugby league world. So it could be, you know, Dave and Adrian on tour, or Dave and Adrian on tour. We could, like...
If it involves a pub, I'll jump in with you.
People could join us. In God. Fact, you know, anyway, if you fancy following us...
If you can drive, that'd be even better.
At DParkyRL on Twitter. Yeah, we'll get you on the Conga train, okay, for next season. Right, anyway, enough of the drinking, enough of the pub talk. For now, although it was great to have a podcast,
of course.
Back on it, and you heard sort of mine and Adrian's views there about the semi-finals. We've already talked about the one involving Hulkington Rovers and Warrington. But what was your feelings about the Leeds and St Helens one? I thought that was a sensational game.
The only thing I didn't agree with is, you know, I didn't really agree with the Friday night kickoff. I'm not a big fan of that anyway, and especially with semi-finals. But 1.3 million people tuned in for it. And what was so good about that Leeds and Saints game was, literally, I was watching it from the comfort of my own armchair. And next minute the hooter went off, and I thought the hooter had gone off by in error, because I couldn't believe that 40 minutes had actually been played. And the way Leeds played in that sort of first half hour, St Helens did amazing just to actually still be in the game. And of course, we know as a Warrington fan that St Helens never lie down, and they've always got a good comeback in them. And they did that in the second half, and you know, they were really close, and it wasn't about that try from Callum Watkins, which sort of knocked their, you know, the comeback on, you know, backwards a little bit. It was absolutely phenomenal. And
is he the best centre in the British game at the moment, Callum Watkins?
At the moment, I'd definitely say yeah, definitely. And it's, that's only good for England, of course, with the New Zealand games coming up as well. But,
and you know how much I like my stats.
Oh yeah,
you know, having us
king of the stats.
Yeah, but did you know that? The fullback Zach Hardacre for Leeds, he ran for over 200 metres, which is phenomenal effort.
Again, you know, he's had a few off the field problems, but on the field, there's not really much a better fullback out there, really, you know, at the moment. And they always say he's a very good defensive fullback, but he did very well attacking, and he scored the first try of the evening as well. So, you know, Leeds just absolutely brilliant. They did everything right that you would want from a semi-final. And to be fair, that's probably why I got a little bit carried away with Warrington on the Saturday, because when they scored in the first couple of minutes, you thought, ah, they're going to do a Leeds, they're going to steamroll them, and it never happened. So, sadly for us, Hull Kingston was a better team on the day, but the Leeds Saints game, definitely the game of the weekend. And it's good as well when you sat at home and you're messing with your tablet and what have you, and you're looking at Twitter and seeing what other people say.
I'm addicted to it now on a match day.
It's the people who aren't involved in rugby league that are watching the game, like so Joey Barton.
Right.
Joey Barton is big in this matchup, saying you will not get a better sporting occasion. What a game, you know, and that can only be good for rugby league, you know. So yeah, the Friday night, it worked.
Right, you've heard what Dave had to say. I tell you what, let's get some coaches' reaction, shall we? Coming up now, it's Chris Chester from Hull Kingston Rovers, and of course, Brian McDermott from Leeds Rhinos.
Certainly, yeah, you know, one of the best. Yeah, really, really proud of the boys' efforts, you know, especially that towards back end of that second half where his backs were against the wall there, but, you know, we found a way to win. People have written us off all year, but you know, there's still a lot of confidence and a lot of belief in this group, and you know, we want to go one step further now.
A lot of boys stood up today, like James Green, you know, the local lad, Chris Wellham, you know, really stepped up today, and full team effort, 117, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, we needed them, everybody, to you know, bring the A game. And yeah, Greeny carried the ball well. Welly were very good again, but you know, I don't want to pick out any individuals. I just think it was a great team effort from the boys.
What did you think early on, Chris, when they scored after a minute or whatever?
Yeah, we started pretty slow, didn't we? We let the ball bounce off a kickoff, but you know, we know that Warrington are fast starters, and you know, it was important that we just got back in the grind, and you know, I thought we did. And for 25 minutes of that first half, we're probably the better team. You know, matched them down the field pretty well. You know, we didn't start the second half very well, but like I said, we found a way to win. We just need to get back in the grind. You know, Warrington were always going to come back at us. They've got some special players, some special talent, but you know, so have we, and we did well to win that game. You know, the focus, you know, after tonight will be, you know, the Super League campaign or the Middle Eight campaign.
Did you use the fact that you were hardly tipped at all to win today as motivation? Did you sort of use that as motivation towards the players? And also, did the win over Wigan in the cup earlier in the round, the week after you got beat 6-0, play a part in the build-up as well?
Not so much. You know, people in the press have written us off all year. But there's a lot of confidence and a lot of belief in this group. You know, we know what we're capable of. And we showed again tonight in one-off games that, you know, in a one-off game, how good we can be. And, you know, it's all about consistency from now until the end of the season.
Yeah, very good. You know, that first 20 minutes was... I know it's a big call, this, and I'm not gushing because we're through to the final, which we're unbelievably pleased about. But I think it's inaccurate to say that, given the context and given the team we played against, I thought that first 20 minutes were the best I've seen us play. And we got a grip of the game there, and you know, there's a lot more to say of it, but we didn't let the grip go. But you know, obviously we can talk about Saints, and we'll talk about Saints, because they threw everything at us there, especially in the second half, and we had to tough that one out. So some really good stuff, but then some tough stuff as well. We had to tough some moments out, but that first 20 minutes probably got us again.
the tries you scored, Ryan, will probably grab the headline, but was your game management equally as impressive?
In the early stages, yes. Probably for the middle 40 minutes, if you like, back into the first half and the second half, the opening stage of the second half, I didn't think it was great. But then that Saints had a lot to play with that, you know, a lot to do with that. They punched some holes in our ruck and looked very dominant. And we're holding on for dear life at times in that game, you know, and they got the scoreline really close and it was all on. It was absolutely on, you know, and then we're not in a comfortable position anymore and we had to tough it out. And that's probably as equally as pleasing as the start that we had.
You ever seen a sidestep like that from Jamie Peacock?
I warned him, if he turns up on Monday with a swollen knee. No excuse. I have actually. That's rolling back the years when he was one of the big lean back rower that could shift a bit, JP, in his younger days. And obviously he weighs a little bit more and he's a bit older now, but... a fantastic moment for him. A bit comical, but fantastic moment for him.
There you have it, the two coaches, and it's nice to see Brian McDermott actually enjoying a post-match press conference. We see him so often, and he's like Mr. Serious, isn't he?
He certainly is, but I think everyone enjoyed that try, especially Jamie Peacock as well, and of course he does a bit of work for the BBC as well, so all the BBC people were quite happy with that. But it reminded me of a few years back when he was at Bradford Bulls, and he was doing that running straight through the Warrington defence when they used to tonk Warrington by 60 points near enough every time we played them at Oddsall, so give me a bit of a scare, that one, bit of a flashback from bad times.
Oh no, we don't want that happening too often.
No,
do we?
No, not one bit.
Right, we've heard from the coaches, let's get a bit of player reaction now. Adrian, when he was giving me this audio, he said it's a pair of amazing Australians, so we're now going to be hearing...
Is it Kylie and Danny Minogue?
No. Oh. I'll raise you a Kylie Minogue.
All right, okay, go on then.
And I'll chuck
Natalie
in...
Natalie and Brulia? No?
No. I'll chuck in an Adam Cuthbertson.
Wow, better.
You know, top of the props.
You win.
So, here we have Adam Cuthbertson from Leeds Rhinos, followed by the man with the deepest voice in rugby league, it's Josh Mantelato.
You're going to Wembley, is it sinking yet?
It's not yet. I think, I think we're just talking about it then. We've still got a few weeks before that game even comes up on the calendar. So I think it's one of those ones. It's going to be an exciting trip, bus trip home tonight, and we'll be, you know, relieved we're on our way to Wembley in the 4 weeks' time, but the job's not done yet, and we really, really, really want to take it out.
Got the job done tonight. It was a tough game, though, wasn't it?
It was a very tough game. Definitely one of the toughest I've been in so far. Not just the skill and the pace, just physically. There's some big bodies and being thrown around out there, and you felt every hit and you felt every run. So it was good to get a taste of it.
Coach Brian McDermott, so that's the best 20 minutes you've seen Leeds play this year. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, we're just really fundamentally good. We're disciplined. We moved the balls to where we wanted to get to on the field, and then we executed really well. We had a couple of slip ups there during the game, but you know, I think that was mainly just because we had a few bodies down, and a lot of players were playing a bit more longer minutes tonight than usual, but that just shows good character in the boys, and you know, hopefully we can take that sort of toughness and ability into the final with us.
You see the try just before the half time break. What was the thought at that point?
They went through a few of us there through the middle, and a score of that. But you know, we just went through a bit of a tired period there, and we didn't panic about it too much. We just knew it was something that we just had to come in and address at half time and fix up and get out in the second half and really take it to them.
Jamie Peacock certainly showing the pace out there to get over the whitewash in that second half.
Yeah, definitely. I was escorting him all the way in, so I don't know if he was showing too much pace, because I don't really back myself for pace as it is, but it was great to, you know, he's become a really good mate of mine this year, along with all the boys, so it was really good to just, you know, see him have that moment and get across the white line. He doesn't do it too often, so it was great to be alongside him too when he did it.
For the fans of the Rugby League, it's always great to see two big pats going head-to-head. How did you find it personally?
Oh, I love it. There's nothing better than it, is it? It's, Rugby League just summed up there. When you get two really big packs with a bit of skill going head to head, there's a lot of unpredictability, a lot of football played, and it just makes for a good match. And hopefully for the crowd, the fans, and that, they really enjoyed it too.
Wembley's a couple of weeks away, so you've got a couple of rounds of the Super 8s to get your teeth into as well.
Yeah. We've got to get back to Super 8s and we've got to do a job there, because we don't want to go into the game hesitating just because we've got this big match at Wembley. We've got to go out there and play strong every week and not only use it as a basis to leading into Wembley, but really concentrate on that competition now to put us in good stead in the back end of the Super 8s.
Josh Mantala, I saw you were the man of the match today, but what a great team performance by Hull KR to win the game.
Yeah, it was, absolutely everyone just rolled their sleeves up and had a real red hot crack today. Warrington are a big pack and really experienced in these kind of tournaments, so it required absolutely everybody to give their A game today, and we did that.
And you fell behind within the first minute. What was going through your mind at that point?
I think we're still getting over a little bit of adrenaline, nerves as well. It took us about 10 minutes to really find our groove. We realised we were sweet. It was just a matter of making sure that they didn't go back-to-back early, which they didn't. We crawled back with a couple of tries of our own, and we went from there.
It's got some nice tries out there as well.
We've got players like Albie and Ken Seo, pull a rabbit out of a hat, so to speak. So it's exciting football that we play, but obviously that's on the back of all our forwards' hard work up the middle, making sure they're getting the metres and quick play the balls for us guys.
And to Wembley, what does it mean to you guys?
It means everything. It means absolutely everything. And they haven't been to Wembley for a very long time. It's what the fans really deserve, and we're looking forward to the next 4 weeks and the build up and all that kind of stuff, but making sure that we'll be there ready to give all that Wembley in 4 weeks.
I think so personally, in the UK for the first time in Super League, you must be made up to be having the opportunity to go there.
Yeah, it's crazy, you're pinching myself. It honestly hasn't sunk in yet. It will do in the coming weeks, I guess. But just have the opportunity to play in such a historic tournament and represent such a proud and passionate club, mate, it's unbelievable.
Fans are passionate out there for you as well, so there'll be at least double the number down at Wembley.
Yeah. There'll be no one left in Hull on that day, but. Looking out there and seeing fans crying just with happy faces, it really puts things into perspective and how fortunate we are to be in this position.
I mean, Sean went over, was that relief so we've got the job done?
I had to make sure the kick went over first, and then it was a bit of a fist pump there, so to go 8 in front with 3 minutes to go, as long as we got that kick off, which we did, we were sweet.
There you have it. Two Australians having great seasons.
They certainly are, and Adam Cuthbertson way ahead on the offloads, and one of the big meter makers in Super League as well. And Josh Matalato, he's one of the top point scorers as well, if not the top point scorer, as things stood in Super League as well. Both had a great start to their careers over here, and of course they've got that Wembley final to look forward to as well, which is a I'm sure they'll be looking forward to that as well. And rumours Adam Cuthbertson could play for England? Or have I just made that up?
I tell you what, he would be a great recruitment. So if you're thinking that, Jamie Peacock's retired and from international rugby and he's retiring from playing at the end of the season, you couldn't ask for a better player to step up.
And Sam Burgess as well, which we forget, he's a big miss, obviously, going to a rugby union and... he could change his name to Adam Burgess, and he could be one of the Burgess brothers.
Well, there's enough of them to go around, isn't there, to be fair? Every team in Australia has a Burgess.
Yeah.
Anyway, there we have it. So that was the two amazing Australians, as Adrian tagged there. Now, it's an interesting old time in rugby league at the moment, isn't it? Because we've moved from the regular season, yep, which finished with, Leeds Rhinos on top of Super League, Leeds Centurions on top of the Championship, into, the unknown, really, isn't it? It's the great unknown of the qualifiers, the Super 8s and the Championship Shield.
It is. It's an interesting time because it looks really good on paper and it looks like a good idea, but, is it going to be good? The next 7 weeks will probably tell of how it goes. But it's like you're going to be looking at all three competitions, and there's something to play for nearly every team. I know the teams in 7th and 8th, LFC and Catalans, they're going to have to do something special to make those playoffs. But sort of from 4, 5, 6, Warrington, Castleford, Huddersfield...
There's not a lot between them, is there?
There's not, no, and, you know... If Warrington get a couple of wins in the first couple of weeks, it's really going to put the cat amongst the pigeons. I think my only concern for it is that we don't get towards the end and there's a couple of big drubbings because, you know, players are on the beach from certain teams. You know, if it's competitive all the way through, it'll be outstanding. It's those middle ones that are the big one for me, because there's a chance four championship clubs could be promoted, in fairness.
Well, that's the thing, and I always think, and I pulled Adrian up on this, because we were having a chat in between pints.
Of course.
You know, just about, you know, like, and he kept calling them the middle eights, and I said, it's not the middle eights, it's the qualifiers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're making it sound like it's something from a Tolkien book.
Well, middles makes it sound like there's nothing much to play for, but if anything, I know obviously winning Super League's massive, but for them, you know, for even if a couple of the championship clubs, obviously Bradford want to bounce back at the first attempt, Lee want to get back, you know, they've had two brilliant seasons where they've just basically beaten everything in front of them. And really, you know, it's massive for them as well. And you've got the likes of Widnes who want to stay in Super League, who I think they've been a bit hard, you know, I think they're a bit hard done by to be in that bottom, you know, but the stats don't lie. And if you don't get enough points, then you're going to be in that bottom bit. There's the Salford thing. You know, what happens if Salford go down?
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Because coming up, Adrian managed to speak with Tim Sheens, who's the director of rugby, the new director of rugby over there at Salford. You'll also hear in this next few minutes from former Warrington assistant Richard Marshall, in his first season, of course, as head coach at Halifax, and the man that you referred to from Lee Centurions, who have only lost two league games in the last 2 years.
And the Challenge Cup game against Warrington.
That's Paul Rowley. They're coming up now anyway.
Tim Sheens, for the second time round, welcome back to the UK.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
How's life at Salford treating you second time round?
Well, very good, but I missed the summer somewhat, they said. There's been a bit of sun, but nevertheless, it was good. Obviously, easier to hit the ground running because I was here earlier in the year, so I know the players, I know the staff, so we've been able to get stuck into it fairly quickly. But, it's outside of a kick in the tail from Leeds. We've been pretty solid.
Looking at your first game, it's Wakefield. It's a Super League clash. Is that the kind of game you were hoping to have got to kick off the Super 8s?
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. You have to treat everyone the same. You know, it doesn't matter where they're finished in any of their competitions, whether it's Lee top of their league or Wakey who've run behind us. We're not that good. We haven't had that good a season. We can disrespect anyone, that's for sure. Lee beat us in a cup game, so I think that's been a rude awakening for our boys. So we're going to have to play well. We've got the couple of weeks that's been handy because it's really licking our wounds and getting a few healthy people back. Plus, running Rennie and Ian into the squad will be important. So. But a lot of clubs have done that. They've brought in late-minute people for this series, and so it's exciting, really, I think, for league fans in England, the fact that normally we'd be putting our feet up looking at Christmas, whereas now we've got a very intense group of games coming up.
As an Australian looking at this concept, are you excited by it?
Yeah, I think it's great. Well, it's in the English DNA, isn't it, relegation? You know, it's in football. It was always in rugby league. Been put away for many years, but I think the concept is a great idea. I think there's so many traditional old clubs playing championship football that used to be great clubs that would love a chance to be in that opportunity again. And this is the concept, you know. So it'll be interesting to see, as Nigel made a comment the other day, after 3 years of this concept, whether anyone will have come up. Certainly it'll be... It's a challenge for the Super League clubs to survive, and it's a real incentive for the Championship clubs to say, well, you know, we can get a shot at them, and if we're good enough, we can be promoted.
Richard Marshall, just looking at the teams that are in these middle eights or the qualifiers. In fact, even in the Super Eights, Halifax are the informed team.
Yeah, we're informed. We've built up a bit of momentum over the last few weeks, and I don't think we've lost since the summer bash against Bradford. So. That's important going into any final series, and fortunate enough for us, we've had enough over the last few weeks to land ourselves a top four position in the Championship. Now we pit our wits against the teams in Super League and the teams that we've competed against this year. So really exciting for everybody at Halifax, you know. I think it's a fantastic achievement to finish in the four, and I think we deserve to be there.
You mentioned the fact you haven't lost since the Summer Bash. Why do you think that's happened? What do you think has changed with the players and the mentality?
It takes time to get a team going, and you know, we had a pre-season, and it's my first year as head coach, and probably by April, May, we're starting to realise how I work and what I look for, and the players knowing how to play with each other as well, and that all fits in. And then we've stayed relatively injury free, so that helps. We've had people in form. Our senior players have been leading from the front, and our junior players have been pushing them senior players on. So lo and behold, we're 9 wins on the bounce, and we had a great result against Bradford at weekend. You know, they didn't have a full team out, but neither did we, and it was near just under 5,000 there. It was a fantastic atmosphere, and it was a wet our appetite for the qualifiers.
As a part-time team in the Championship, how have you guys found it with the four full-timers?
Well, I think you can compete on a game basis, but for seven games, this is going to be a big ask for us full-time teams. The recovery and the amount of contact time that we have with the players is far, far different to a full-time outfit. Obviously, I was at Warrington with a full-time team, and I know the in-depth analysis that goes on and the one-to-one coaching. We haven't got the opportunity to do that because our players get off cleaning windows and come off the roof at 6 o'clock, and they come and train and have a couple of hours, and we've got to cover quite a lot. But when they come, they enjoy themselves, they work hard, and we get a lot out of it.
Paul Rowley, first of all, congratulations on winning the Championship Shield.
Yeah, thanks for that. I think recognition for the boys again, 2 years now that's of consistency, to be fair, but and consistently high standards, which is really pleasing and really evident in the way that our sport base has grown and everybody's enjoying themselves.
Been a great season. Has it gone better than you expected?
Yeah, I would have to say so, because I think the quality of the competition, two Super League clubs coming down as well, to only lose once again is a remarkable achievement. And you know, I guess we've overcome the two Super League clubs, which would effectively made us third from bottom in Super League minimum last year if that was the case. So we've jumped two spots in the rugby league ladder of teams. So you know, we've once again, I think it's an overachievement again from our part.
Seven games away from the promised land of Super League, if it goes to plan.
Yeah, well, exactly. And you know, the plan, we've already gone to plan because we've finished top four. That was our goal, achieved the same amount of money as we did last year. You know, but I don't think it's one of them things we need to talk about too much as a group. Middle eights, you know, what can we achieve? If they don't know what we can achieve now and what it's all about, then they never will. So it's a very natural process now going into these seven cup finals, and you know, I think it's just about managing the team and making sure we're prepared good for each and every game.
Is that the way you're going to approach these games, as a cup final?
Well, you can't help but do that, because it'll be quite evident when we walk out, and there's, you know, rather than our 4,000 home faithfuls, we'll actually have some away fans. So we're talking 8,000 crowds this time, and so that in itself is the occasion, and we love the occasion. So they'll know about it. They'll know about it the minute they step out of the car and arrive at the stadium.
Mentioning the occasion, it's going to be a great day when you take on Hull Kingston Rovers in the first game.
Yeah, they've been the darlings of Super League. They're, you know, for me, they've been fantastic to watch. They've got a great coach in Chris Chester. And yeah, it's two teams who like to play good rugby. So, wow, it could get messy, that one. It could get messy. So it'll be interesting for everybody, I think.
Interesting for everyone. That's what Paul Rowley says.
I agree with him. I think it could be really, really interesting the qualifiers, as you put it. We're going to call them middle eights.
Well, I think even Paul referred to it as the middle eights there, didn't he?
He certainly did. But these qualifiers, to see how they go. You've got Wakefield, Trinity, Wildcats, who probably the team that they're going to put out this weekend is the team that hasn't played all year in Super League, and they've been awful for 20 weeks. So can they pick it up for 7 weeks and save their skins?
It's a great unknown, isn't it?
It certainly is. And then you've got your Championship Shield lower down. You've got the teams who just missed out on the chance of being in the qualifiers. Your Featherstone Rovers, Dewsbury.
Still a great team, yeah. You know, like Featherstone. I know
they'll be upset they didn't get there, into there. And then, of course, London Broncos as well.
Yeah, it's funny you should mention London Broncos, because we did mention before, didn't we, that we'd be speaking to Andrew Henderson. And here he is now, talking about his first year in charge of a professional team and his aspirations, I suppose, for the remainder of the season with the Broncos.
Andrew Henderson, the regular season of the Championship's ended. How do you feel it's gone for the Broncos?
I suppose the expectation of the club at the start of the year was that we'd be playing in that Super 8's qualifier campaign, and but obviously that hasn't gone to plan. So I guess it's been a disappointing year, but it's been a very disruptive year for the club. You know, we started the pre-season with 25 players, and basically by round two we'd lost seven of our top 17 players due to long-term injury or moved on from the club. Also, we lost the head coach, as well as changing training venues in that period of time over pre-season. So it has been a tough year. It's been a steep learning curve for the club in the Championship. You know, we tried to go down the dual ridge loan path at one point there, because I mean the original squad that we did have signed had a lot of young London players in the squad as it was, and it was probably a little bit unfair of me when I took over to subject more young kids to the pressure that was being placed on us. You know, the club obviously had expectations of finishing top four, and you know, I was wary of that, and so I tried to go down that dual ridge route and try and get a few more established players from Super League clubs to help us try and jag us a few wins and get us rolling. But it didn't quite work out that way, and you know, ended up taking myself to come out of retirement mid-season there to try and help the ship a little bit, and that kind of, you know, worked to some degree for a little bit there. We got a few wins, we gave ourselves a chance of being in the hunt, sort of revived the season, but unfortunately we came unstuck, and I think in recent weeks, you know, I came away from the team, Tom Gilmore got recalled by witness, which is again he was great for us all season, but yeah, that's the dynamic of dual ridge. You know, you just never know when they're going to go, and it can disrupt your team. And so losing him and losing myself out the squad, and then we had a couple of other injuries to Daniel Harrison, Reece Lovegrove, who were two sort of senior members of the team, and yeah, so that hasn't helped at the back end of the season when we did get on a bit of a roll, then give ourselves a chance, and we've kind of fallen off the horse a little bit. But hey, like I said, you know, we've got to learn from this, and hopefully next season. And I'll get the opportunity to put my stamp on things and get a few more bodies in that I feel that are going to help strengthen the squad moving forward, because the nucleus of the team will still be here next year, because a number of them were signed on two-year deals. But now we've just got to make sure we try and finish this season on a bit of a positive and a bit of a high coming into this Super 8 Championship Shield.
You took over in mid-season, so it's been a pretty good learning curve for you as well.
Oh, absolutely. And I think certainly from a coach development point of view, I don't know if there's many clubs out there which have the issues that you face at London, you know, in terms of logistics and, you know, how hard it is to try and attract players from up the north to come down and get them in there and whatnot. So, yeah, no, it has been a great learning curve for me, and I know for a fact that at the end of this season I'll be a better coach from what I've experienced, and it certainly came earlier than expected. You know, I came down there with the intention of being an assistant coach for a couple of years and sort of getting groomed a little bit, but I was given that opportunity, and I've grabbed it with both hands, and I've been pretty pleased with how the players have responded, because there has been a lot of instability and a lot of change throughout the season in terms of personnel and things that have been going on within the club, and I have to applaud the players that have, you know, stuck with it and persevered and stayed strong, and I know that a lot of the guys there understand that where we're at as a club, both on and off the field, and understand that we are looking to make things better and do things more properly next season. So it is going to be an exciting year for us next year, but again, we've still got to focus on the back end this season, mate, and hopefully try and come away with some silverware. That's the goal. Spoke about it with the group of players. Yes, we've got to get over the disappointment of not achieving our original goal, which we set out as a group, but if we're being honest with you, half of that group wasn't even here at the start of the year, so you know what I mean? But that was always the expectation of the club, and rightly so, being the Super League club coming down and the parachute payment that we received and all that and staying full time, then yeah, we should have had that expectation of finishing top four, but it hasn't worked out that way, and we've got to cop that and not whinge about it. We haven't been good enough, that's the reality, and we have to ensure that we are strong in this final push in the Championship Series. Shield, hopefully get some silverware to give us a positive foundation building into 2016.
Mentioned the fact you've not met your expectations due to one reason or another, but are the club still excited to be involved in this new look, Championship Shield?
Yeah, well, I think you've got to look at the positives of it. It's easy to be negative, and I'm sure there's plenty of fans out there that are feeling pretty downbeat and probably pretty annoyed that we're sort of aspiring to win the Championship Shield, when I think probably their expectations as much as everybody's was to be competing for a place in Super League. But you know, we've got to look at it. We are where we are, and it is what it is. And we have an opportunity, you know, the way I'm trying to spin it or put a spin on it is that, you know, the club itself, London, it's 35 years of proud history, and there hasn't been a lot of silverware won in that 35 years. So this is a real opportunity for this group of players, because, again, players will move on at the end of the season, and each year you always have different players in and things like that. But this group of players can still achieve something special as a group, and that is there's an opportunity to win a trophy and win a grand final. And if we can do that, then, you know, players that move on, they were part of that. It will go down in history as silverware for the club, which, again, we haven't won a lot in our recent history, and so it's so there is some excitement and there is some positive things to look at going into this final campaign.
Andrew Henderson there, talking a great game. He's a really good ambassador, and I suppose there's a lot of positives there which London Broncos can take forward with him at the helm.
Certainly does, and fingers crossed they do well as well. We can be our little like second club or something.
Maybe so. We'll keep a lookout for them anyway. That's exactly. For sure, Dave. Now, we did talk about it, or you mentioned it at the turn of the show, didn't you? Everybody seems to have strengthened ahead of these start of these qualifiers. You know, you've got Lee, who's brought in Matthias Pala from Catalans. You've got Wakefield, who's signed about just about anybody who's available. you know, even Hull Kingston Rovers are announcing recruitments ahead of next season now, you know, I noticed Ian Thornley's put pen to paper. An interesting move, Chris Sandow, Warrington.
Really, really interesting, that one, because I've been told off a guy basically who watches NRL, he lives in Thailand, and he said Chris Sandow is the best scrum half in the NRL when he wants to be. So that's the thing we want to look at, is when he wants to be. So if he can be consistent, you never know. 7 games, 9 games, Warrington could be grand final winners, or Warrington could be out of it in a couple of weeks. Interesting times.
Definitely interesting times. You can follow it all via the Final Hooter here on Radio General, and of course, love Rugby League.
Across Warrington Hospital. With a bigger variety of music.
This is your feel better station.
General.
Radio General.